Right, this is going to be another episode of Talk to Thorin, and my guest for this one is going to be Donna, who is technically, she doesn't actually have one official title. She's like interviewer for ESL Pro League, say that much. She has also done interviews at HLTV.org award shows. She obviously has worked with Only Pixel on his stream, including at the majors. Streamer, is there anything else you describe yourself? Have you ever got any more hats you wear?
I did so many things. I mean, I was a play agent for some time.
Right.
When I streamed a bit less, so I was also working with Ulti, and I wanted to go into the player agent field a bit, and had some experience as well. Even got 2 signings and stuff done, so it was very good experience. But unfortunately, I don't have time to do everything, so maybe that's something for the future. I do manage Ona also a bit on the side, but more like about organizing like event content. Events and sponsor deals and stuff. I've also like managed a bunch of other YouTuber streamers to get them to the major to do content together and stuff. So yeah, but mostly now I'm just focusing on my own content and doing more like interviews or event jobs or like just streaming. So yeah, that's kind of it.
One of the reasons I mentioned that you are also known with one of your many hats as Girlfriend of Nexa is because that actually was once upon a time last year, one of the main contexts as to how people maybe knew about you, because you are, let's say, famous, depending on who you are, / infamous for having very bold opinions. And so, for example, when Nexa was like going to getting hated on in G2 when he was going to get removed, etc. Obviously, famously, even though now it's all cool, we've all figured it out. At the time, you had a little back and forth with some people in the community you thought were criticizing. And people don't know. Not only did we mention that on the talk shows, but that's basically, actually some people aren't like, don't know enough of the scene to know that that wasn't, that Shutter Island like skit wasn't just making fun of Chad. The part of Donna's part was making fun of the part of how she went at like Launders basically, right?
Yeah, so Chad's part was about Chad's and my part was about exactly the dispute I had with Launders. It was hilarious and I was 100% down to do that. And I think I delivered it.
Because the reason I bring that up for is I think people know you are someone where you're pretty forthright when you have an opinion and you think you want to say something or you think something's wrong or people haven't added the right context. So what we thought we'd do along those lines, and this is actually not going to be as spicy as people think when they see it. If you actually listen, it's going to be people giving some quite reasonable takes, like level-headed stuff.
Yeah.
But what we thought was, obviously there was this giant powder keg of drama at the beginning of the year when the Imperial female team, as they were actually called at the time, they've been rebranded out to Imperial Valkyries, you'll notice, to make it not like men versus women thing. But the Imperial female team, what happened was, in the VRS system that we've all had introduced by Valve for the circuit, it turned out that actually within the rules, that does actually have as a sub point that you are allowed to make your tournament gender locked or region locked, for example. So the example is, in the same way as someone could run a Chinese only tournament, you can also run a women's only tournament, and obviously ESL already does ESL Impact. And if people don't know, because this is actually a little detail a lot of people don't know about the Imperial female team, it's not that like any old team that's a female team will get into the male circuit because of ESL Impact. Part of the reason why is because the Imperial female / Valkyries team was like insanely dull. I think they were like 2 years without losing a ladder or something. So when they were going to these tournaments, they were winning every single match at the tournament. So it meant they maxed out the points, even though, yes, they weren't playing against men. And that got them, famously, the invite to the Blast Bounty. Then it got them to IAM Katowice, even though they had to use a standard there. And then eventually even got them to PGL Bucharest. So it got them to these like three, I mean, the Bounty one wasn't as big, but like 3 tier 1 pro lands in male CS, etc. And so it meant that there was this whole thing during these 3 tournaments, even though it sort of changed between them, where initially it was like, wow, this team's been invited. Nobody expected to, because they're not known as a top team among the men. Then it became like, how will they do at the LAN? Then it became a whole thing of like, they're losing, so why are they losing? And then there was like a million other drama elements aside from it. In fact, what's funny is this episode won't even be very much about what was actually in the survey. It'll be about sort of how people responded or how people hyped it or whether you think it was legit, et cetera. So let's just start at the outset. I would just ask you this. When you first heard they were invited, what was your thought? What did you think of this? Because obviously it was initially thought to just be some weird bug with the VRS system or something, right?
Yeah, so I think I this was like for the Blast Bounty, right? And it was like among top teams, right? Because I think at this point they were like ranked around 20-ish.
Yeah, top 30, I know, at least, yeah.
Yeah, or like 20-ish till 25. I don't remember exactly anymore. And I mean, they were like a lot of people were surprised, and obviously there was a lot of like negativity, like from the community, because I saw like people writing something on Twitter and like, hey, what the fuck is happening? They don't deserve that, these and that. And then I actually saw them at the HLTV Awards show. I was like interviewing there, right, like you mentioned before. And I actually asked them, because I interviewed them. Okay. And I think, I don't know if was it Anna or Zaz, I'm not sure anymore, but I said, hey guys, you've been invited to Blast Bounty. It's like huge opportunity, obviously, like it's a tier one event. And people, like, first I asked them how they feel about it and stuff, and what they also think about how the community reacted, because it was mostly like, I think, very negative. And then they said that, you know, they're just like, you know, focusing on themselves. It's for them a great chance, and they're just going to give their best, which I think was the right attitude. Because in the end, you know, every team would take that invite.
Oh, if I
would
play with some
streamer friends and we play some close streamer league and somehow it gets us point, I guess we would not say no to an invitation as well. You know, it's just it's normal, obviously. So I think it was good that they took it like, you know, more like cool and just, you know, went in there more like, I think, without any pressure. And I think that's also like one of the reasons why it was kind of like going well, even though obviously they lost, but they still looked very confident, you know. And I think then like the whole shift changed from people were discussing, do they deserve it? Do they not deserve it? My first reaction was like, okay, that's interesting. Obviously, I knew as well, even though I'm a woman myself, that, you know, you don't just like automatically take like someone's side just because you're from the like you're of the same gender or something. I also knew, okay, like, obviously, they technically would have not been in this ranking if they would play, like, I don't know, CCTs or on open qualifiers and stuff. It was because of the impact and it boosted them up to this ranking. Like, if you're not delusional, you're aware. And they, of course, knew that themselves as well. But in the end, there was no reason to be, like, toxic about it, I would say, because,
right,
you know, it's not their fault, right? It's like a system. No. Yeah. And so this was like more like it was curious for me. And I think for others as well, but some were like kind of like crying about it. And then when they had their match against Navi, was it first match?
Yes.
I think. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. That was super hyped. So this honestly, like I enjoyed watching because just of the whole hype it generated. And then I would say the whole stir started, like, you know,
yeah,
like because people started discussing. Initially, I loved the hype about it. I think Ona was co-streaming it. I was watching it with friends. It was like, we were like super hype. We were like cheering for every round Imperial got because it was just like so like fun to watch. But then I don't know what happened in the community, but all of a sudden you had like two sides. Really like nothing in the middle, just this or that.
But I'll say, let's rewind a little bit. When you were talking there about how when they initially got announced, this is where I actually think it's already a tricky topic with some stuff to unpick, which is basically when this was announced, I do think there's a, right, put it this way, obviously people who know the scene knew, well, this team hasn't beaten male teams to qualify. It's not like they went, you know, last year to a bunch of smaller tournaments or the RMR or something and they were there and they've earned the points like everyone else has. So the problem is it was a function, as we're saying, of a brand new VRS system that Valve's introduced, which if people don't know, actually, this is already one of the problems with like semantics with language, is they're still called invites, but they're not technically invites because if you know the way the system works, it's actually intended, by the way, to get rid of corruption in the men's scene, which is what they're trying to get rid of, is the idea. I'll give you a good example. Right now, Fury is good. But if you imagine if Fury had just, I don't know, maybe Kayserato quit the team or something. If they became really bad and they were like the 40th best team, I'm telling you, Donna, if you ran an event in Brazil, you would want to invite them anyway because that, like, all the fans are going to want to go to see Fury. The viewership's going to be higher. So what people like Valve were trying to avoid with the VRS system is the idea that like ESL or someone could be tempted to invite big teams that aren't actually top teams, whereas like actually the aforementioned 3D Max, I just gave the example of who kind of earned their spot on all these lands, ignoring them and going, well, you wouldn't sell seats. What they're making it instead is if you're in the top X, whatever it was, top 20 something, like you say, then you just get invited. Basically, you have to invite like number 1, 2, 3, 4, and basically unless the team turns it down, which by the way, later on did happen with Fury, a female actually, so the male team could attend because obviously both can't attend for conflict of interest reasons.
Yeah,
unless you turn it down, it's not really an invite in that sense. Like the earned invite makes it sound like you've said, hey, want to come and play at my tournament. So I think already that made people who just looked too literally at the word think ESL's just gone out. Blast in this case. They're thinking, oh, Blast, for sort of like political reasons, has just invited this women's team.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think that did make people who either hate women or just think women are shit at the game just immediately start before they'd even played with the negativity of like, this is just, you know, politics or it's woke or. So, as far as I can tell, actually, by the way. As far as I can tell, that isn't actually even what it is.
Rules.
So actually, that I already could tell when that happened. We were going to get into some murky waters because already people are like mad about something that hasn't happened, basically. Mm-hmm. But then they went, and as you say, in the first match, if people don't remember, I have an amazing memory. They didn't, even though the scores at the end were like not bad, but it's still like 13-8 or something like that. You know, if you have a look though, it actually started with them winning the game. They were actually leading early in the game. There was a whole bunch of rounds where you could even tell the Na'Vi players. It's actually the reason why I think JL stupidly made that comment where he went too far the other way afterwards. The reason why he sort of complimented them is you can tell early on Na'Vi probably went in thinking, like has happened later, we're going to 13-0 them. And then they were like sort of losing, not just losing like 1-2, they were like losing, I think they were down like 4-3 or something. Then they were losing like 1v2s.
5-3 or something.
You can tell at one point in time they were sort of raised like, fuck, we're going to look stupid if we lose this. Like, we better actually fucking play real shit. Like, we have to win this game. So basically, I agree. The first game was hype. But the problem I think is this, right, is there's two things again, and this is all about language, is when you say people criticised them, it's because this is where it's you have to know what the person's context is to know whether they're hating or they're just being critical of VRS. So the problem you had was, if you said, like I said this, actually they didn't like earn their spot and they didn't sort of deserve to get that spot. What I mean by that is every other team that gets invited who's a men's team has literally just played in the normal circuit. And the reason they had those points is they played against... So the reason why... I'll give you an example. If I don't like, I'll pick a random team. Who would I even pick for this? Like...
Well, I can give you an example for that.
Go on.
What I think would have been exactly the same situation.
Yeah, go on.
And for example, there's like this ISF or how it's called.
Yeah, yeah.
Play like this.
Oh, sure.
And let's say there was, for example, was it Nexus or something? They got a lot of points because like their core played this.
Yes, this is a good example.
I think, I don't know if they won or they got the second place, but it was also LAN. It was prize money.
Yes.
And their core remained. I don't know if they changed players, but the core remained and they were ranked so high, but they were not on this level. Like, and they played a lot of like CCT. They got playoff invites a lot of like for a whole month and they were ranked way higher than they actually like played.
That's a good
one.
It
would have been the same, I think. Yeah. So if you, for example, let's say you take, three German, ESEA advanced players who go and play this ISF with some other two, and then they kind of win it or go second place. And then they're like ranked so high, but the whole year they didn't do anything. They like didn't even qualify for CCTs. It would have been the same. Technically, they also didn't earn that spot. Based on like, I would say like how they played before, but it was because of like the flaw in the system. And you can adapt this to everyone, not just female scene, but to everything that is kind of like regional, closed, small LAN or like this, like national competition. So there's like a lot of like, I would say inconsistencies that, is not that good, like for the VRS system, because it can cause like for this like unfair advantages in the pointing system.
In fact, I'll even use two examples myself. Similarly, first of all, I actually could have used the Imperial Male team, because if you don't know, last year they had such Brazil Audi events where I'm sure that would have been worth points too. Where it was just like, you know, it was just like Imperial MIBR and all those teams played each other. Yeah. It was everyone except Fury, I think. You could use that. Or the other obvious one, like you say, is regional one. You could like put it this way: we actually know now that like Tyler and Rare Atom have shown us some like crazy results, but actually, when I see like Rare Atom added to the event, Donna, I do think the same thing as I thought with Imperial Female. I'm like, oh, what you've done there is you have to have a certain amount of Asian teams in, but like pick whoever the European team that would have been in there if you put in like the top 30 or whatever. I'd rather see that team in. Like, I'd rather see like Big Clan player than Rare Atom. Now, by the way, this is key. It turns out maybe that's not right. Actually, Rare Atom's had an upset. Tyler was kind of exciting at ESL Pro League. Like, that's kind of like an interesting angle, but you can see why someone could criticize the invitation without it being like, it's just because you hate women. It's like, no, you're just someone who wants the best teams personal, and you want it to be like a pure meritocracy, which, by the way, as we just pointed out with our answers there, CS actually isn't that anyway. Like, as you know, for the major, there's a certain number of spots like the Americas get. Even if the Americas were shit tomorrow, they're never going to get no spots and all the spots go to Europe. So there's always actually in these tournaments going to be someone where it's not like fair in the traditional sense, but that's just the way that it works. So the problem I have with that is if you're criticizing that, this is where I actually think what's complicated this whole topic is women trying to be like the grouping of like, we're feminists and we're representing and supporting women. I think the problem is there's a lot of women and women who are like allies of the feminist movement who saw this and they don't follow CS, or if they follow it, maybe they only follow the major. And so they don't know, for example, what tier two is like. They don't know how good those teams are. They don't know things like that. In the past, women have played in qualifiers or lands with men. And so I think for real, Donna, one of the reasons people were hyped, and unfortunately this was the wrong reason, is they thought this was the first time in history that men and women were going to play each other in Counter-Strike. So their whole thing was that's why they thought people like me were hating if I said I criticized the system, because I think what they thought was they were like, you didn't even give us a chance and you're just hating us already before we've played the game. Whereas in this particular case, look, I actually, by the way, well, here's what's funny, people think I'm a hater. I wouldn't actually even have predicted they would have lost every map, by the way. I'd have thought, I think our CS scores, like, as I said, people like Rare Armor sometimes do win a game. I would have thought an MR12, like, you might have one, and by the way, it almost did happen against Fury at IM, to be fair. I would have thought you'd have one random game. So even I wouldn't have said they'd go. Like, by the way, I do think anyone who said every game they'll just get 13-0'd, you probably are just a hater, bro. Like, come on. Like, that's not even CS. Everyone could win a random pistol round. We've all played FPL games. Like, you know, like, these things happen. So I do think that part, like, did you get that sense as well? Because I'm sure you had people in your circle in esports who don't follow the scene super close. But I think people wanted to also make it a political thing of like, well, we're going to prove that men and women are the same or whatever. But to me, it's like a separate topic. What do you think of that?
I mean, yeah, it was weird. I mean, some people were like realistic, whatever. I mean, for me, it was entertaining to watch, to be honest. It was something new, you know, it was cool, to watch and like to cheer, for them as well. But, I think for me, like, you know, like obviously, like I'm always like realistic and I've it's like not the first time I've seen women playing against men team, like, because there's like over qualifiers and you had like also games like this in the past, also back then with when you had like the team with Julian and Zaz together. I think they also kind of like, I don't know what it was, but there was also some online event and they were like really close to take a map of some tier two team and stuff. It was an HLTV, so it's not the first time. So for me, it was like nothing, like, you know, it was just like obviously never in like tier one event because we didn't have the VRS stuff before. But I 100% saw some people like really like going like so extreme, you know, like you had obviously like the toxic people being like super extreme and just like technically just literally saying they should be in the kitchen, whatever, like
sure, all the classic
people.
Ones
being like literally misogynist and just hating for the sake of hating women. But you also had people who were like, I would say even like delusional. I mean, I've seen like so many, like also on Twitter, like I feel like it was also a lot from Valorant scene maybe, because there were like so many names I've never really seen who are not really like from the scene and stuff, and who were saying like, yeah, they can like beat these teams. They were like a real threat to Na'Vi.
Yeah,
and I was like,
hey,
am I delusional, bro? Like, sorry, but like that's not true. It's just you could obviously, if like you watch a lot CS and like, you were also saying like Na'Vi probably underestimated them. You could see in the beginning Na'Vi was technically, they locked in on a few rounds. They played super serious. You could see that. But they also played a lot of rounds, especially in the beginning where it looked like they were like playing face it.
Yes.
And I could see like, you could see at some point Alexi was like shaking his head and Blade was like rolling his eyes because it was probably literally this thinking like, okay, guys, like, you know, you're not just gonna like have fun, and stomp them. Like actually, like, you know, play serious now. You could see it. That I don't think they 100% played like how if they would play the same if they would face Spirit now or G2. And that also lost them a few rounds because obviously the girls can shoot back as well, right? So they found out and then in the end they locked in and then you could literally see the class difference. And seeing people going on Twitter and saying that if they can take this and many rounds from Na'Vi, then they can beat this and that team. I was like, okay, it's not that black and white, you know?
Sure.
And then people were comparing them to Imperial, like, male team and saying, look, they lost, they got much less rounds against Na'Vi, so they're worse. And for me, this is also a bit disrespectful towards the male team because I'm like, bro, they're like, sorry, but they're like grinding a lot and they are better. They are on a higher level, and I think it's okay to say that because it's they're realistic.
I'm pretty sure Valkyries would tell you the same thing.
Yeah, of course they would. I mean, they're not delusional. Yeah. So if you would ask them, hey, are you better or Imperial male? I think they would obviously say the Imperial main team, right?
Yes.
I mean, they've been around also for like many years, and they compete against top teams for a longer time. Maybe they're not the best, but I would say they're, especially in Tier 2, they're probably like a threat to Tier 2 teams. and seeing people like kind of like disrespecting those teams, I'm like, bro, like, I don't know. Like, for me, this is not supporting, because like saying things that are not close to the truth has nothing to do with supporting, you know, women. And I feel like it went like into so many extremes. Like, people were like either like hating or being toxic, or people were like, oh yeah, like, look, they just didn't get chances, but if you give them chances, they could be a top 20 teams. But it's not how it goes, because all these teams who are at the top, they have been grinding for years, and they all started somewhere lower.
Yes.
and fought their way up. And if they could have done the same thing, right? They're playing ESEA. They're, I think, in ESEA main. They can also grind up. They can go to advanced, and they can go to challengers. And then, you know, play at the ESL challengers and then qualify for main events. They can do the same path as other teams did, yeah, as well. True. It's not like they were not allowed. And and there were like so many people who had no idea. I saw so many comments saying like, yeah, look,
yeah, I know what you mean.
If women would be allowed to participate, they were like, yeah, but everything is open. You can, you can. And this was like something that I found so weird. Like, I didn't really like meddle in any of these conversations, because I think there were like a lot of people who don't really know esports, or who don't really follow the scene. And they were just like saying something just to say something, you know, just like to say, to support them, but like without backing actually the truth, you know?
Yes. No, by the way, I think that's definitely a good point to make, which is, that's also the other thing. It's not just that people thought it's the first time men are playing women. People, if you notice, people even kept doing that thing of saying they are allowed in, like you said, the words were allowed and men's circuit. Whereas as people tried to point out, that has never existed. As far as I'm aware, there has never been a tournament ever. Like, the joke is Andrew Tate hasn't run a CS tournament. No one's ever made a tournament that was like, this is for men only. That's not a thing. Yeah. It's like, as you say, in fact, the ESL circuit, because of how they designed the challenger system, which, by the way, if people don't know, is actually designed to let teams that, when they were sort of like on the border of tier 2 and tier 1, like back in the day, it would be sometimes like Falcons, or sometimes even like Eternal Fire, like actual like real teams, you know, Bad News Eagles. Yeah. It was to let them and the teams below them battle it out. And then whoever won, as you say, would get slots into a bigger tournament. And so it meant actually, if this team last year had ever been able to qualify for one of those, like you say, and then win one, or whatever, I don't know if you had to win or come top 2 or whatever, but whatever it was, they would actually already have been in tournament. So unfortunately, if someone came along and was thinking again, it was like, well, they were blocked from the scene, but now they're being let in once, so you're hating. Actually, some people saying that weren't haters. They were just people pointing out like, no, but we sort of know from the rest of the circuit, they're probably not good enough, unfortunately, at the moment. That is just the reality. I agree with you. I do think an example of where people actually, I think some people genuinely just thought they were either memeing or being, I'm going to be overly kind to Imperial Valkyries. But I agree with you. If you then start just saying, hey, they're better than the Imperial main team, it's like, bro, the Imperial main team qualified to like real majors. Like, that's not a bomb team. Yeah, in fact, you saw when they came just to a tournament recently, the Blast one, they could win maps against real teams. Like, they've actually done better than the Valkyries team already. So I just think I agree with you. I've always said there's only so much credit you can give to people. So don't steal it from another guy to give it to someone else. Yeah. That is bias. Yeah,
I think that is not cool as well. And then you see, of course, like people saying like, oh, I don't know, like, this player could be better. Like, I don't know, like, Ana better than Wonderful or something. I mean, some are some joking, but some are really like,
I think some people believe it.
I had someone in my chat after like they played this like Navi game, and then Furia, especially the Furia, it was close. And then someone said like, yeah, do you think, like, Ana could replace Wonderful in Navi? And I'm like, because I think Wonderful maybe had like a rough path or something. Right. I was like, are you serious? And then some were like actually serious. And I was like, bro, like, Ana is amazing. Like, she's definitely one of the best female players right now. And she's like, she plays on like a really, really good level.
Sure.
She's like also high level in Faces and stuff, but Wonderful is on another level. It's just, that's just like disrespectful, because I'm like, do these people even know how good this player, pro players are be in these teams, even like even in tier 2? And then people were starting making narratives. This and this player could easily replace every rifler in tier 2. No, because the guys in riflers in tier 2 are also on the top percent of the competition. Like, just because they're like ranked 28 and not 15 doesn't mean that they're like, I don't know, 10% of a player who, like, of, I don't know, like some other rifle in tier 1. Like, I think like people are not aware how good these players are, even in tier 2. I would even say like academy team players are pretty good, just like skill wise, maybe. And for me, it's like a bit like delusional and disrespectful to say like that, like players from like a female team, for example, could replace those. Even if, of course, every player in Imperial is like, they're really good, you know, in their scene, they're the best. That's why they're winning everything. They're the best in their scene. But still, it's a different level still, you know, and I think that's like what people have to realize. I think it's good that they're like playing more like online events. That's something that I really wanted to see. I mean, yeah. They have obviously some, I think they were like a bit disappointed from the Yala Compass showing. Like I've watched only one match. The others I couldn't watch, unfortunately, but they didn't do that good. But it's just how it is. Other teams also fail at those events. And there's like also teams who just cannot compete with Tier 2. And you're just one of them, which is fine. You just have to grind and you have to try to get better. And if you're good enough, you can be at that level, you know? But I feel like people just tried like to forcibly push them into that level and make them seem like they're even better than Tier 2 teams, which I don't understand because, like, yes. You know, I'm like, they're maybe just not watching Tier 2 or something. I don't know.
I've got a couple of points there. One is, I actually think I know why some people, not even always for a negative reason, want to like, essentially what they want to do is they want to take Imperial Valkyries, and instead of them being Imperial Valkyries, these five girls that have played in these tournaments and have a history in Counter-Strike, they want them to be the ultimate example of how good women can be in esports, and they want to show that this proves all of women can be as equally as good as men, some like grand political point. And the reason why I think that's already whack in doing so is because, first of all, like I say, you're not even treating them as who they are. Like, you're just taking them and making them the poster girls for your like fantasy that you want to be real. And the reason why that also sucks is because it's just so unrealistic. And I actually think that in itself will create more backlash. Like, I do think, Donna, I agree with you. Yeah. There were definitely some people who were just toxic for the sake of being toxic. And by the way, some of those guys didn't know about the tier two scene and didn't know the things I was talking about. But the problem is, some of them also, I think, were just mad triggered by like famous players, like you've said, commentators, just going too far and being like, you know, I'm going to add like an extra bit of spice to this. I'm going to make it bigger story than it is. I'm going to say things like this team's better than the male team of Imperial and stuff, which, by the way, when I did an episode of Feed the Trolls with Vilga, who used to play with these players in this team, and she's now with the NIP team, she even said herself, of course they're not better than the male Imperial team. In fact, most of the female teams, obviously the male team is the main team, and then they just are the team that's trying to make it in the scene. So that's not even something realistically within the scene. Like as I said, I don't think the Valkyries ever would have said that. In fact, if people I noticed people reacted really heavily to all their interview comments. None of their interview comments to me ever said what people were hating on them for saying. Like, it's like people, I have some experience in this myself, but people would just take, like, the people who wanted them to be the best in some idealized utopia were building it up that they would think that they could beat the best. But then also the haters were almost making it like if you ever go and see, by the way, the Zaz ones are the most reasonable interview. She's been on the scene so long. She is just sort of like, hey, you know, we're going to do our best and I hope we can get some scrims and, you know, let's compete in some other tournaments. Yeah. And they were actually doing a pretty good job not to make this hype. So I feel like the hype itself, even though some of it was potentially nice, some of it I think potentially made the backlash worse.
Yeah, this is 100% something. It's good that you point that out because this is something that I also thought. Because now, for example, you saw like there was like when they played like in Blast, it was like a lot of hype and people like, you know, putting them, I would say, in the podest. And then when it was Cluj where they played, not Bucharest, I think. Yeah, it was Cluj group stage or something. They got the invite because Furia declined and then they were the next in line to get in. And yeah, there I think it already started because they didn't win anything and then people were already starting to shift kind of. And now I think the nail at the coffin was now this Yala Compass close qualifier. And they didn't win a map there. And then people were like, oh, bro, I think I saw like 5 threads a day. Like,
oh,
I
wow,
watched
right.
a match. I don't know how many matches they played. I think it was 4 or something. I don't know. 3 or 4. I only saw one. But every day I saw like 5 threads about them. I just like peeked into one or two, but it was obviously all negative. And then I saw stuff on Twitter and then someone posted, I think they got 13-0 or something, and people were like posting the scoreboard and everything. And it's shifted so much from like this hyping to extreme hate. And I was like, bro, now so many people are on their back because of the Glazers.
Yes.
And I think it's okay to support, by the way. I don't think you should have not supported. I'm talking about the people who were delusional and hardcore Glazing, not just like, hey, it's cool to see them. I think they played well. they hold their own weight. That is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people like I commented it was like some deagle clutch from Kat.
Yes.
She did against Navin Mirage. Was like, hey, that was fucking insane. Yeah. Whatever. Not talking about that. But there were people who were like extremely glazing, saying, oh, they're better than Imperial, better than Wonderful, better than this. Get them into tier one, get them into tier two, whatever. And I, because of those people who were like overglazing, I would say, I feel like that the haters just feeding on that. And yeah. Now they're using now that they didn't do so good, they use that against it. But it kind of like, it in the end, it targets like the team, right? And the girls, even though they never said those things about themselves, but because there were people who were so delusional, now all this like haters took like their, for example, performance now, their recent performance, and are like, oh, look how bad they are. And look, they're like this and that and that. And it's just like, you know, it was such a big backlash. And I think it is mainly, I think if people would have not been that overglazing, this would have not turned into so much like hate that I have seen in the last days. Now it's kind of stopped because they're also not playing anymore. But I don't know, it made me a bit uncomfortable. It was just like too many threats about it. And I was like, okay, guys, like we got it. I think everyone who was a bit thinking logically knew that they were not on a level, on that level, and that they can also not compete with tier two. Obviously not because they're women, but just because, you know, that they're like where they're like how they're standing also in ESEA and whatever, you can assume that how they're gonna do against tier two teams. But there were so many people who were just like, they just waited for this, and they're just like, ah, look, you know, like show, look at their scores and whatever, and just like post everywhere. And I think that would have not happened if people would have not like gone over the edge to like glaze them, you know, like this.
No, I mean, I'll give you like an example. Yeah. One thing I've noticed in this topic is if you don't want to make it some stupid political men versus women, the trick is you just change it to like another example in the male scene, and then it stops people thinking in that mode. So I'll give you an example from the men's scene, right? If Falcons play badly, so obviously as we do this interview, PGL Bucharest has taken place and they had some dodgy results at the beginning. People hate on them 10 times harder than even teams at a similar level because of reasons not to do necessarily with the players, like they don't like the org and the Saudis, or maybe they don't like that they know how much money was spent on the org and everyone's earning a lot of money. There's all these other reasons that make people like not just hate on the result but like go even harder, because like you say, it's almost like they're getting off on the fact they're getting to hate on this team and like how badly they're doing. Yeah. And they're sort of relishing that it's going so badly. So I agree that that was definitely happening to these female players. Yeah. Like, and actually a point you said earlier I want to just jump on is actually when you said people don't understand how good even tier two players in CS are. This is a concept that is so misunderstood, because I'll give you a CS an example and a sports example. There's a really cool concept that happened in men's basketball like this, where there's a guy who used to play professional basketball. He was in the NBA and he was even on the Celtics, the Boston Celtics, who at one point in time were actually the champions when he was on them. But he was the guy at the end of the bench who barely ever plays. He's like, you know, like if you have like 15 people on your team, I'm making up a number here, he would have been like 13th or something. So he wasn't like the five starters. He was never the guy scoring the 30 points or winning the game. So obviously he didn't really like win the game or whatever. So what used to happen is, because he was on like the team, but he was one of the bad players, you would get for real people on Twitter that'd be like, you're a fucking bum, I'd beat you in basketball. So what he did, Don, and this is actually cool as fuck, is he actually set a YouTube series up. You can go on Google this. He's called Brian Scalabrini. And he has done a whole bunch of videos where for real, he got actual haters off the internet. He got them to come to a gym and he played them all 1v1, and the joke is, you can see where I'm going with this, if you play 1v1 you often do it like first to 10 points, you know. Yeah. And I'm not joking, he was beating some of these people 9-1, 10-0. He was just smashing. And by the way, he doesn't even look like a basketball player, he's all out of shape. He's like, I think he might even be retired now, like, but what he said, he had a great line that I thought was perfect for this example. He said, look, I'm nowhere near LeBron, who at the time was thought to be the best player. He said, but the difference is, I'm way closer to LeBron than you at home are to me. So don't ever make that mistake. So I would use the same point, Donna. I would say people make this mistake. They think, as a random fan who plays matchmaking, like, hey, because they're seeing like Wonderful or someone kill these players, they're thinking, oh, I would beat them. And it's like, they would destroy you. Like, maybe if you, put it this way, maybe if you were like a really good semi-pro, really grinds face at like 7 hours a night or whatever, maybe you would have have a chance. But even then, one, maybe you could already be in the pro scene, mate, if you actually tried to go pro. And then two,
yeah. I think if you're good enough, you've been in the pro.
And I'll give you another fact that people don't realize. So, you know, you always get that story on the forums whenever this topic comes up. It'll always be someone who'll go, hey, like, I'm semi-pro, and me and three of my friends played in a scrim against that female team, and we beat them. And it's like, you do know, guys, yeah. that's the same example yeah. as when they played against Na'Vi. For them, it's just a game. For you, it's the world championship. You're like fucking folk. You have nothing to lose. If you lose, there's not going to be a thread like random nobody's lost a scrim to. But if you win, you're going to take screenshots. So I think this example's, I think everyone should be able to follow what I'm saying. Like, please understand these people would destroy you in a game.
Yeah, 100%. And there's literally a similar example. It was when you still had the open qualifiers. They were like top teams. Like, I don't know, Fnatic, Astralis. Yeah, I know people like Astralis.
No.
But still, they're a pro team. They can still, in a good day, beat another tier one team, whatever. I don't know who it was in this lineup, but they were literally like top teams who had to go through the open qualifier and who almost lost against a random level at level 10 stack. Like, these guys were they were not even semi-pros. They didn't even play ESA. They were just like literally, I don't know, 3K ELO friends playing Pugging Faceit, and they almost won against them. Like, so, but this doesn't mean that these players are like pro material.
No.
Or that they're like anywhere close to beat these pros. Because technically, if you're like, obviously not like a casual player, like, let's say like me. Yeah. If you're like playing on like a higher level and you play like for a long time and you play professional or whatever, or not even professional, if you're just like, let's say a 3K ELO player, of course, if you're like in a five stack with your friends, yeah, you can probably even take five rounds away from, I don't know, G2 or whatever.
Yeah.
If it's not some official, that doesn't mean that you're like as good as them, you know? And these people saying like, oh yeah, we played Faceit against this female team and we destroyed them. Doesn't mean that they would like play just as good, you know. That's the thing, because everyone always said that, and people always say like, oh yeah, like when they, I don't see some player like, I don't know, Snex having like only 8 kills and like, yeah, I would be better than Snex. No, you would not, bro, because you're not even close to half or 10% as good as he is. Otherwise you would have been on that level. You would have played for fucking 10 years as a pro or even longer. And yeah, I think people just don't realize it, and it's like, yeah, they don't have enough respect, I guess, or like really appreciation how competitive that level is, even tier two. And tier two is very close to tier one. The only difference between tier two and tier one is technically just like not having a star player in your team.
Sure.
That's literally the difference.
Or going to the lands and getting the experience and all that stuff.
Yeah, because there has been so often like underdog teams or tier two teams upsetting the best teams.
Absolutely.
And people are like, how the fuck is this happening? Like, yeah, bro, they're not like bots. They're pros. Yes. They're literally pros. And maybe if from the enemy team, like, let's say it's like, I don't know, Spirit or Na'Vi, if one of their star players is not showing up or whatever, they can tactically and mechanically beat them because they're on the same level. There's not a lot of skill difference between tier two and tier one. And this is, I think, what people don't understand. So it was kind of like funny to see all of this like comparison. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. But as I said, I mean, it was like for me, people were very sensitive during like during this like high period. I feel like they were like, people were like either toxic or they were like attacking everyone who was like not on their side or who was like saying something negative. I mean, I think something, for example, that where you got a lot of heat was like for the tweet you made about Ana. I don't know how you can maybe explain how you meant it, but sure. From the outside, it looked like you picked on Ana, like, you know, just on her to make her look bad. And then people like took it offensive. And she also replied to you. I think she called you a clown or something.
By the way, she should just do her own ESL skit in the future where we will make that all good, you know. That could be done.
It's good graceline. It's a good
Come along in the clown outfit or something. You know, we can figure it out. We can make
but,
it work.
Yeah, so, I mean, the people reacted to, like, very, like, negative also to you because of that. I mean, I don't know. Like you can, like, maybe say, like, how...
Sure. Well, first of all, here's the thing. It's not that I don't get that some people saw it that way. Because like I said, I know there's some people who were looking at that topic intently. And obviously, I have a big Twitter account. I'm not just a random guy. And I'm a known person in the community as well. I think there were some people who just don't know Counter-Strike, so they did think things like, hey, it's the first chance, give them a try, you know, everyone can fail on the first attempt, etc. Or, you know, it's unfair because they haven't played against men before, so this is their first chance to even know what their level's like. So I think some people thought I was just saying, I mean, I noticed some people, by the way, what I did is, but a lot of people don't get this, people seem to think I made like a big post and I made all these opinions. What I did is I just posted a screenshot of the game that they played against Na'Vi, and I posted, and I just put the only time, and what I did is I got on a score that was the bottom fragger, by the way, classic for people who point out the bottom fragger is the bad player. I did like a red circle around her score, and then I just wrote HLTV 2024 Female Player of the Year, because if you don't know that, as you said, they were at the awards and she won that award. Now, funny thing is, a few details. One, I actually didn't even know this myself because I don't follow female CS very much. I just know about ESL Impact. She's actually the three time in a row Female Player of the Year. Like, actually, this actually builds more towards my point, believe it or not. The reason I made that post is what we've just said earlier. That's why I know that dynamic exists, that if you overglaze, it will make people hate, but they're almost hating on the glazing more than the person who's like the target, as it were. So what happened is, when I saw people saying in that Na'Vi game, like you say, like, Anna's better than Wonderful, who, by the way, like, you might not like Wonderful, but he's like a top fucking five or six opera in the world. Like, the guy's won a major. Again, you might not think that, like, I mean, look, Na'Vi wasn't playing their best. Na'Vi was obviously like the number one team last year, but then people were saying, like, oh, they're better than the Imperial male team. And I'm just thinking, like, those guys have been at the major, guys. Like, it's not like we've never seen that. It's not like they come last at every tournament, lose every round. I think that's just... So what I thought was, in this game, I noticed particularly that people who were trying to only find the positive, they took that exact same game. So essentially, they were almost taking the screenshot, as it were. And on the screenshot, I believe in that game, it was Tori, the in-game leader, top fragged. I think this is the Mirage game. I think, off the top of my head, I can't remember which one. But whichever map it was, she top fragged in the game, right? And so everyone was going, wow, she proves, they didn't just say she did well, they go, she proves that women can play at the level of the men. So here's the thing, if you think very logically, if you were going to pick a woman to be the best example of how good women are, you'd pick the three-time reigning player of the year. Like, it would be the same analogy as if we took Valorant and CS, Donna, and we had a match where they played each other. If we played and then Chopper top fragged and I went, hey, Chopper just proved he's better at Valorant, but then Donk bottom fragged, someone in Valorant would be pretty justified to go, dude, Donk's the best player and he was bad. That, what, how does that prove your point? So that was actually the point I was making. By the way, just like you, I don't think in my career I've exactly gone out of my way to not give my opinion. I think I've been pretty forthright with a lot of my opinions, and I'm actually pretty spicy when I give my opinions. So if I wanted to hate on Anna, I'd say something about Anna. I'd say she's shit, look, like you say, get back in the kitchen or you can't play. So I never said any of that. The problem is, though, I do think people took it that way because... out with no context, they thought, like, why pick on her though? Like, why put that? But there is a context.
The context was, I think, not clear, and that's how it looked, and that's why then people were like, okay, he's just hating to hate. Absolutely. You get me?
And then also, the other problem is, what they don't know, because people made, in this, you know, it's in this topic, a lot of the problems is people making bizarre assumptions without looking into it. People assume, because I'm known to be like, let's just say, like, a hardcore fan of CS. Like, the joke is, I hate on, like, really good men's teams, for fuck's sake. Like, Aurora, Eternal Fire is, like, one of the best. They're probably, like, top five in the world. I'll hate on them if they do badly, because fuck them. Like, I don't like their fans. Some of their players have been rude to me. I have my own reasons why. So I'm a kind of...
I mean, the community.
Yeah, of course. They have some annoying fans. We all get it. So, basically, people assumed I just hated because they were women, right? And that I was just, like, picking on them because they were women. Yeah. But what they don't know is two things. One, I have known, literally, the GOAT. If you made a Hall of Fame of women's players, I know most of them. Some of them are even friends of mine, if people don't know. That's why I did that interview with Miss Harvey, and I've done a whole bunch of content over the years. I've done stuff with, like, Benita, who's in Valorant as well, if you don't know. Potter, obviously, is someone I literally hired to be on Flashpoint, who's been, like, a championship coach in Valorant and was one of the GOATs in 1.6. So they don't know my background, Sandy, so they assumed I was just hating. And then the other thing, unfortunately, is they don't know this, which is I have never in 2025 said a single word negative about a single female player in Counter-Strike.
No,
except
you have not.
One.
No, you have not.
There is one. And the one player, you just nailed it, is Anna. And now that tweet wasn't negative. That was just actually a response to the... Essentially, I was doing what I do always, which is I have my own angle on stuff when people are going, well, where I have my angle on it. Yeah. But since she did respond, and she didn't just say it, like, the second part of her tweet was fine, but she just said, you know, everyone can have a bad day. That's true. But she stupidly, because she was probably... mad herself. Because here's the other thing. You know what? I'll actually be reasonable, even though I don't have to be, since she was rude to me. But I'm just going to be a reasonable person on this one. I imagine what actually happened, Donna, is she herself had all her Twitter mentions full of people like, you fucking bought, you sock, look at you, fuck off, get back in the kitchen. She saw all that, but the problem is they're just randoms. Then she saw me, like a famous account with all followers, doing this screenshot. And in a way, she was getting back at all the people who hated on her by making a comment. Yeah. It was sort of like, you know, I'll pick the biggest person and that'll be the target I'll respond to. And so what she said, she was basically just like, you're a clown or something, right? The problem with that that is where we have to ask, what are we doing with women in the esports scene? Because the question is this, are we doing it like politics and we're trying to like, you know, insert them into the scene and we're going to keep changing things until they're good? Or are they just trying to have pure equality? Do they just want to play and be treated like men? Because I'll tell you what, I go 1,000 times harder on men than I've ever gone on any of those tweets.
Yeah, I mean,
so if you want equality, put it this way, I don't think you want it in the way you think you do. Because by the way, equality is getting hated on by people like that. It is some people make fun of you. And by the way, people are ruthless and CS making fun of people. Yeah, we all know that. By the way, we've all had it ourselves. And then also similarly, if you talk shit to me like that, I have a rule when it comes to pro players. Maybe you know it with JL. I've never talked shit on JL, but I'll tell you what, if he talks shit on me, then fuck it, right? I've got some pistols too, mate. Right? Some duels at dawn, let's go. And at least with me and him, though, like, everyone knows it's fun, so it's all cool. It's not. It doesn't have to be like big drama. It's more just like wrestling, you know, we're just fucking characters.
I mean,
just
I'd see it between you two anyway, just like some like kind of like banter. I mean,
yes.
I don't know how it even started, but I don't think he takes it that seriously.
No, he doesn't mind it. I've always said, but people can't see it now because his Twitter likes hidden, but he just likes all my posts about him too. So I can tell he enjoys it. Yeah. It's fun for him, you know.
Yeah, I mean, obviously JL is like also like big on when it comes to content and stuff. So I think he probably appreciates if you post something where he can react, you know. But yeah, I mean, in general, like the community is, the CS community is very toxic. It's not just like, obviously, there's like a few who are just toxic specifically to women, which is obviously that's fucking shit. And why? But then you have the people who are just toxic in general, and these people will be toxic to everyone and everything. So I think you have to like try to kind of like see the difference, you know? Just like to like kind of like come back to what I said before, shift to like the hyping to like people being over toxic when they did bad now at this like online event. I think it was a mix of some people were just in general toxic because they shit on everyone who is shit, and some people just like trying to be like, ah, ha, 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 look to all you Glazers, I told you, you know? So this was like, it's a bad mix because the community is, they can love you in 1 month and the next week they can literally fucking hate you. I mean, you see it all the time, like, people glaze, they glaze Shui for 2 fucking years, say he's a top 3 IGL, and now he has a bad start with his debut, and people are calling him fraud and saying Shui exposed and he's a bot. So, you know, that's just how the community is, unfortunately. And, I think if you compete, I mean, if they, for example, let's say Imperial, I mean, I think they have some online stuff coming up, which I, by the way, I think it's good that they're like, because in the beginning people were saying, they just want to go to tier one and stuff, whatever. Now, obviously they don't get tier one invites anymore because of the ranking, it dropped. And they're trying to play this like close qualifier, which I think is good because, you know, that's the only way how you can get better is by fucking, you have to go through the mud. All the other teams are doing it as well who are not top ranked. They all have to go to the fucking mud and play open qualifiers and close qualifiers. And try to somehow fight their way back up. So it's good that they're doing it, but of course it's not gonna stop. Like people will hate in general, but I just like hope that it's gonna be like more like, okay, just treat them like any other team and don't hate just because they're women, because that fucking sucks and it's unnecessary, you know?
Yes.
Because we have enough hate anyway, and it's like it's like this like small line, you know.
By the way, I've got a couple of points on that. One, I'm with you on that one. Like, I don't really want anybody. Like, by the way, if it was up to me, no one would really get hated on. Like, people would maybe do meme tweets, or someone like me and JL can go back and forth.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And also, if you notice, I'm trying to make a specific distinction there. I basically hate on people who hate on me. They go too far. They attack me directly. If you do that, then I'm going to attack you back. I'm just one of those people where I'll mirror back to you the energy you send to me, you know. What people don't know is this, by the way. No one ever fucking thought to try it, Donna. If people are actually really lovely to me, they don't know this. I can secretly sometimes be quite a lovely guy. I can be quite nice. You never get to see that often. That's often off camera. That's just the way, nature of the industry we're in. But also, similarly, here's the other reason why it doesn't even make sense, the idea I'm a hater. Because remember, I'm not a politician. I don't have to, like, make up for the fact I made a tweet about Anna. So if I hated on them, why would I suggest? Because I think I was the first person to suggest this. Is I actually think there's even a way we can rework the scene to make this all the same thing so they could still attend tournaments but not be hated on. So what I realised was, because if you notice, I tried to think quite logically about my points and I tried to make examples elsewhere. What I did is I remember a few years ago, one time there was an ESL Pro League season where I forget if it was like a Spanish team or it might even have been like a Polish team or something. There was some team that I remember were like complete shitters. It's like, I've never seen this team in any tournament ever. And I was thinking, how are they in ESL Pro League? And what I did is I went to the page and I clicked, you know, what's the qualification method? And obviously they weren't like, you know, top 25 in the world or whatever. And it was one of those ones where I know for Spain, for example, they actually used to have a specific like ESL Spain tournament or league. And what they did is whoever like won this got a spot in Pro League. And I think that's actually even how like Movistar Riders or something first got into the tournament, right?
We had that also for Cologne. You could play a German league.
Right.
Only German LAN, and then the winner would go to go to Cologne.
Yes. So to me, that's another example. It's like, look, if you want to be a total purist, none of those should exist, but they already do. And we all accept it because the reason why no one cries about that daughter is it's not likely they're actually going to like win the tournament. Like they're probably just going to come last anyway. And whoever was in their spot, maybe come last anyway too. So most of the time you just think if ESL wants for business reasons to do that, let them do it. Like they obviously want to prop up their Spanish league or as you say, the German tournament. Yeah. They want to have like a path to pro, like you said, with the challenger system. So if you do that, right, essentially, I actually think for real, if it hadn't been announced, let's rewind, at the beginning of the year as this female team has qualified and then all the people who don't know CS were like, hey, they qualified, they earned their spot there, you're just hating. If instead we could have had a thing like, if here's what I would suggest for Valve. If you want women to actually have a chance to be pro, what you should do for real is just ask the ESLs and the Blasts to do that. See, instead of a qualifier spot like you used to have, just have like a spot for like the winner of ESL Impact or something like that, you know. Mm-hmm. And then whoever wins that tournament, it's like a dedicated female slot. It's only one slot. It's not like the whole tournament's going to be ruined because they're there. Yeah. We can do this anyway. And as I say, the team that will replace them in the rankings is probably 32nd. They probably lose anyway. If you do that, I think one, no one has to hate because you just made them a spot. It wasn't like the whole, like, did they qualify or did they deserve it? Like, that was a whole distraction that people got lost in. And then more importantly,
it's similar to the VRS then, no?
It is on some level, but that's why I say it'd have to be Valve that does it, because at the moment VRS wouldn't actually allow you to do this, ironically. The irony is, a year ago, ESL could have done this. I do notice, by the way.
It isn't directly like this.
No, right now.
If they win, they get a lot of points, so they get invites, technically.
I mean, yes, they also, if people don't know, when they have the ESL Impact, if they win those and dominate, they might be back in the tournament again. So we might actually this episode will be good. We might replay this whole topic. But then the last thing I'll say is this. I also think, just like we mentioned, we called out some of the pros and some of the top, the TOs and the commentators. You guys could actually also, if these teams ever qualify again, you have to be more responsible. Because I would go the opposite way on this. I said this on Twitter. If instead you made this the narrative, like women have never like done big things in Tier 1 before. This team is here. No one expects them. Even they don't expect that they're going to win the tournament. But you know what? They're going to do their absolute best and they are practicing and this is their chance to like get a test at a higher level and see if they can be better. By the way, it's almost like the best form of scrim you could have as well. It's a real game against real teams. Like this, if instead you make it that the expectations are very reasonable, then essentially people can cheer even if they don't win a game. I mean, I gave the examples earlier. I saw some games where Ty Lue won a map but didn't win the series. But like, if you're Chinese, you'd be super like, hey, we won a map. Like If you make that the expectation, I think a lot of people aren't just pure haters. Don't have to get in on this. We can make it more reasonable.
Yeah. 100%. I mean, I'm pretty sure if the day comes when they will take off a map of this kind, half decent.
They almost did.
Yeah, I mean, this would be like giga hype, obviously, and then of course, like also like, you know, with the reason behind it, right? Because it would have been like a small achievement, I would say. Yes. You know?
I'll give you another angle as well. Here's another obvious one to me, which is the problem with why I think a lot of the people from outside of esports or outside of Counter-Strike are making this too political is because they don't know how unrealistic it is, Donna, that a team of all five female players would not only like get good, but they'd break history completely and they'd be like top 15 in the world or something. That's not even the way logically it would happen. Think about it, right? What would happen first, most logically, is probably the best female player, could be Anna, could be 23 or something, Tori, one of these players, more likely in the future, if you want them to be a top, top pro, they probably will play an men's team, and it'll be like there'll be four men and one women, and then there'll be three men and two women. You know what I mean? That's how I think it's likely it would go. And by the way, that's also a thing that if it went that way, I think they would get less hated on. As you say, the people who hate women anyway, they're always going to hate anyway. Like the joke is they're going to hate on people because you're from a country, because you're skin. They'll always have a reason to hate. I mean, I actually think 100%. most haters, by the way, don't even really hate something externally. It's like they just, something about them they don't feel right about, so they just project it onto the world.
I mean, sure, like people hate on someone else. Everything.
Yeah,
they hate based on gender, or they hate.
But I think in that scenario,
they hate because you're in Falcons and they have money.
Of course, so it's like, I think in that scenario, if there was like one really good woman and she got into a men's team, I think you would already see the attitude change. I think what you would already see is like people would cheer for her, or people would be like, "Hey, she's actually better than I thought she was." And like now that she plays with the men, I can sort of see this isn't just politics. I think that also is something like that. People don't have to, it doesn't have to be one or the other. We don't have to elevate the whole female scene. You can go piece by piece. Because if you think about it, by the way, I'll give you the other obvious example. That is, in scenarios in the past, the obvious one is race. Like, I'll give you an example. Back in the day in American baseball, it quite literally, Donna, was banned for you to have black players. You had to be white to play in the baseball league. And what happened was, there was a player, I'm not certain about this, but I know this was one of the players. There was a very famous player called Jackie Robinson. And the idea was, he wasn't just good. He was actually so good, it turned out he was one of the best men in general. He just hadn't been allowed to play. And what happened was, and this is quite a logical reason why I think one day you will see some very good women players play in tier one, is because he was so insanely good. Eventually, not everyone's racist. Like, there was like some owners who were like, look, I would actually sign this player. And eventually, like, he sort of broke through and got his chance. And here's the clever part people are missing. Now it's not even about politics. If that guy's really good and then he's allowed to play, now just the market means that, like, you're incentivized to look, is there another really good player? In the same way as, like, you know, when players come up from a different scene, we all go and see. Think about Kiyosuke. The whole reason Kiyosuke is going to be in tier one, definitely, is because of how good Donk's been. So everyone's like, whoa, is that the next Donk? Like, everyone's on the lookout. So I actually think, logically, if this ever happens, it's inevitable that there'll be women who will play pro CS. It's inevitable.
Yeah, I mean, we're just going to see and wait. But in the anyway, like, I think, I don't know, I think there was just, like, too much obsession about it, you know, like, in general.
Well, this whole topic was way too big, wasn't it? I mean, you think they were, like, losing in the finals of the way people talking.
Yeah.
I'm with you. The idea that, like, anyone in the... Like, the joke is I doubt any other team in the whole Yala qualifier had any threads about them, and they were getting five a day. Like, that's too much. Come on.
Yeah, 100%. But, I mean, I think one more last thing that, like, definitely, like, where I understand people but where I think they should, like, not, like, you know, target their hate towards, like, the players or the team is 100%, like, the system. And it's just, like, something where I think a lot of people see the unfairness.
By the way, I also agree with you as well. That's another thing that I think people are being really unfair about. Don't ever tell the players they themselves should get out. Like, if the system gives them a spot, you can hit on the system. You can complain to Valve. They definitely should accept. By the way, Donna, I don't think it would be stupid if they didn't.
I would accept that, too.
Of course you should. Yeah, of course.
Everyone. People who cry about it would themselves, and their friends would get on their minds, they would accept it too, you know?
Of course.
Everyone would do that. But that's not the thing. Like, I think, like, because you said, for example, like technically you, like, you know, you could give them a spot by, like, winning Impact or something. Like, right now, technically, they're getting the invites because of the system. So it is, I would say, a bit similar.
Sure.
And you say because the team that didn't get in there, you know, like, technically, this spot, right, they take it away from the team that would have been next in line. And you say this team would have probably ended last as well. Maybe. But what I have seen now with the VRS, it is actually not that, like, black and white. Because, for example, now in the VRS, you could see how fucking close it was. And there's, like, now a lot of teams who are not in the MRQ because they're, like, literally 10 points behind the next team. It is so close. It was a difference of one best of three, one or not. And this is something that I think is not that easy because there are teams who are, for example, grinding the whole season and they're playing like, I don't know, there are teams who played like fucking 200 maps.
You know? Some people play every day on their tournaments,
Yeah, like play two tournaments at the same time just to get VRS points. And I do think it is, and then imagine you're in one of those teams and you work your ass off and you're so close. And then because you didn't get invited to one event, because let's say like because of this like flaw in the system, and you don't get the invite because to this event, and maybe one win there would have been enough for you to make the difference and to make the major. That is a huge, that is a really huge difference, and it can be life changing for teams. And also like it's very important for the orgs, because the thing is, especially like in this like tier two scene where you would take kind of like take away the spot from one of them, these orgs don't have the same financial support, and they're like so close to like, you know, making one major maybe will disband the whole team, and then right. what's going to happen to them, you know? And for example, Aurora, their whole roster got benched, and I tell you right now, if they would have made it to the MRQ, they would have not benched their roster to get Eternal Fire.
No, sure.
They would have kept the roster. I mean, of course, they're going to find another orc, but it still sucks for them. And there was like now one event, which I think Sinners played it. I don't know. I think it was Sinners who won it, or they were second place. It was a LAN event in Czech. It was a Czech event, and there were like five teams or something. And because it was LAN and it was ranked, a regional event, it was like made so close before like the, you know, like VRS got updated, the ranking.
Order, yeah.
They were like I don't know how it turned out in the end, but like things like this can literally like maybe a changing factor to take the spot from someone else. And I think it would have been undeserved. For example, if I would have seen if Sinners now, I think they didn't get it in the end. But as let's say Sinners would have got enough points through that to take the spot from another team that made it in the last spot from MRQ, it would have been not fair because this team were better like in the ranking and on the points. And then they play some regional lands against five other teams who are not even close on that level. And then they get more points than you. And it's the same for the female events, because in the end, you have to see who are they beating to make it to get so many points. You understand? That's why I think you have to be fair, and it has nothing to do with gender. It's the same for regional events. I'm not a fan of that, because they were fucking in Sweden. They were like regional events. I think Johnny Speed got so many VRS points because they were playing LAN events, and there were four teams.
Yeah,
like, and I don't know who these teams were. Yeah. They were like ranked like 100.
Yes.
And then they win $15,000 in first place LAN, and then it gives them like 80 VRS points or something. This is not, it's like, it's so flawed, and it can be abused. And that's why I'm not a fan of this as well. I think it should be really like, I think the people, the opponents you beat should have more value than what money you make. And if it's LAN or not, because otherwise you can do this in every fucking region, region, have some random teams, and then you can just farm points and steal spots from teams who actually deserve it more because they're grinding the whole fucking season. And then you take the spot from them because you play some regional closed ranked shit, you know?
Yes.
So that's my opinion, you know? And it has nothing to do with like Women's League or it's part of that. It is a similar like this regional stuff, you know?
No, I'm with you.
Yeah, I think they have to find some solution for the future, because I think it is not fair towards teams who are like grinding and who maybe can, because of one tournament less or no, who can be taken, like whose chance gets stolen away to make the major, for example, which is very important for those teams. And it literally happened now to some teams who were like 10, 20 points away. It's such a small like difference, you know.
No, I'm with you,
sorry,
by the way.
Like,
no, that's good.
It's like hard for me to, like,
here's the thing. I also agree. This is also why that actually, to rewind to the beginning, the whole thing was so complicated. Because again, it's different if you're criticizing VRS and Valve and criticizing the team itself. Because I'm with you. I also think one of the obvious flaws right now, I'll give you the obvious example, is there are teams, like you've heard it recently, like there's going to be like some European teams attend Fragadelphia, which used to just be like a fun LAN in America, because they're going to farm points. Right? I'll tell you an obvious reason why.
And IP went there, no?
I'll tell you why there's an obvious flaw with that. Because now what it allows you to do is if you're in the org that has money, you can get flown to that event and get points. But I'll give you a great example. If you're like Namiga from Belarus, who just plays like tier two and grind every day, they can't go to that LAN. They haven't got loads of money. So I agree with you. You're not actually getting the best teams. I've got another angle for you, which is this. To finish on the female topic. One, I do think there's actually a positive. You can always find like something good, even in the bad. It's like some yin-yang shit, right? Here's where you can actually even use the hate shit to make it like funny. I thought that skit ESL did at Katowice was really funny, the one where they had Bobble, like, you know, like get back in the kitchen.
Yeah,
oh,
that was
like,
hilarious.
That's actually,
I love that.
You're taking the joke and you're being self-aware and you're playing with it, and it showed that those girls could take a joke and they got it.
100%.
And then similarly, one of the other reasons why I think in one day it is destined that there will be some top female players that get into the circuit and they play is because I'll tell you another obvious reason. Think about those matches they had, even where they lost 13-1. one. There was way more viewers for that than if it had been Namiga against Fury. You know, like,
so
you've got like an actual interest that's more. So that means people want to see these players. And then I'll give you the obvious other one, which is not only are some of these players good, but some of these players, especially because they have experience being famous in the female scene. If you think of someone like 23, mate, if she was in a, like a male top 25 team, she would be so marketable. It'd be crazy. Then think how many sponsors would line up to sponsor someone like that.
Yeah, huge.
Like, so there's even these aspects that people don't take into account. The game, by the way, the game has never only been about skill, Donna. Like, I'll give you the obvious example right now. I think my boy Dexter, who gets hated on right now, is way better than Fallen. But Fallen's a legend. I'll guarantee Fallen can get way bigger personal sponsorship than Dexter because he's Fallen, bro. And he's mega on camera. He's got the history. So the game was never pure in the sense people pretend anyway. Like, this is something that's obviously going to be a factor in the future. And I'll give you one other reason that I want to just say, because if you notice, I'm trying to also put like sort of like an explanation of how people can change this and stop the problems and make things better. I'll give you one last thing that I want to say to people watching this episode, which is if you are a woman and you maybe only followed Tier 1 CS or you just don't know that much about CS and you wondered about the topic, I'll tell you an immediate way you can actually help this problem that you haven't done at the moment. And I can prove you haven't done it because I have a website called ES Charts I can go to, which is if you want to follow and support female CS, don't just watch when Imperial Valkyries play. When ESL Impact happens, watch that tournament. Watching that tournament and building the viewership of that up is actually how you will build up female CS. That will make their tournament. Literally, then their teams get more sponsorship, then they get more opportunities, then they can all grind more, go to book. Literally, if you want to support it.
Teams because of course, of that, because there was no interest, you know?
Yeah.
And that is true. I mean, like if Impact, for example, would have a higher viewership because more people are interested in it, then more orcs would also be willing to invest because they would be like, hey, okay, our team's match is averaging like 2K viewers. It's worth it for us to put the sponsors on there. But if you have like, I mean, obviously like the finals, I think the playoffs always have like a few thousands viewers. But I think if it's like just group stage, I think they have like, they don't have like a high viewer count, just a few hundred. And then of course, orcs will be like, yeah, like we will maybe not even make it to the playoffs. So there's no point to like sponsor a team, you know, that is going to play in front of like 200-300 viewers or 500.
Sure.
So, yeah, it's like, of course, if people want to support the scene, then they have to be really interested in it and like also watch it and follow it because it only comes from viewer base that or want to invest because in the end, it's about money. If not enough people have interest, then you're just losing money, you know, and that's a problem.
And I'll give you one last reason, and I'll make it funny to end the episode, which is I'll use it as a way to have a shot against JL, because why break the habit of a lifetime, Donna? So what I'll say is this. If someone like JL wants to do a tweet and go like, you know, oh, these girls are better than you think and they could play, they were really making us sweat. Mate, anyone could do a tweet. Here's what you should actually do for real, JL. If you really believe what you say, the next time the ESL Impact final happens, if you're not out of LAN, you better be online co-streaming it, mate. Like, if you do that, you would also bring way more viewership and more attention. So I would just say sort of skin in the game, show it, proof that you actually care about that.
Yeah, true.
Don't be an ugly hater.
Oh man,
the catchphrase, there you go. Yeah. You need a t-shirt or something like that. Do you have anything at the end you want to say?
No, I think we talked so much, but I would love to do another episode. It's this or Snake Event or whatever,
we'll do it.
Because there's so many things happening in the scene right now. No specific shout outs. This was a lot of fun. And maybe we can do something similar again where we talk about some stuff. I mean, I'm also like co-streaming a lot matches, so I'm kinda like following everything anyway. So yeah, hit me up whenever.
Oh yeah, you and whose army? Well, how about the Skrilluminati for one? They're the people who support my content. This video was kindly supported by The Concept, Matt Pugnatio Racula, Toucan, Jensen Gore, Tosh, Jason, Bane Diesel, Animosity, and you know it, everyone does. A special thanks goes out to my main man, Jerky's Minion, for the long-term support. Do you want to ask a question for my AMA videos? Would you like teasers? Find out what upcoming guests I've got. You want to suggest a topic or a guest? Maybe you want to be part of one of those one-hour lengthy online discussions I do where the topics are set by you. Well, if any of these perks or more tickle your fancy, I think you know what to do by now. Put your money where your mouth is and join the Skrilluminati where Patreon link in the description below.